Good afternoon. I will now call this meeting of Senate Transportation Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 1:47 p.m., May 4th, 2023. Let the record also reflect that we have a quorum. Present today is Senator Rob Myers and Senator Lukey Tobin, and myself, Chairman James Kaufman. And I'm trying to go fast and I'm missing him. Staffing the committee today is our LIO moderator, Sydney Truitt, and Johanna Crossett from Records. As always, our Transportation Committee aide, Emma Torkelson, is here. This time, I'd like to remind everyone to turn off or silence your cell phones. Today's agenda consists of two items. First, we'll take up HB 128 by the House Transportation Committee, and then we will hear SB 129 by our very own Senator Myers. So at this point, we'd like to take up House Bill 128 by the House Transportation Committee. This is the second hearing of the bill. On May 2nd, we heard an introduction, took invited public testimony. Amendment deadline was set for today at noon, and no amendments were received. We have Representative McCabe and his staff, Buddy Witt, here to present for us today. Are there any further discussions? But before we proceed, no questions? All right, please, Representative McCabe, Mr. Witt, please, if you would like to make a statement with respect to this bill.
Thank you, Chair Kaufman and members of the Senate Transportation Committee. Nice to see all three of you again. not quite used to looking at a committee of three, but for the record.
Lean operations.
That's right. For the record, my name is Representative Kevin McCabe. I'm the chair of the House Transportation Committee representing District 30. With me, I have my committee aide, Buddy Witt, Mr. Witt. And I thank you for bringing this bill back before your committee. HB 28 is the House Transportation Committee's effort to clarify the statutory definition of oil terminal facility and the requirements for vessels when conducting ship-to-ship fuel transfer or en route to such operations. The Alaska Fuel Storage and Handlers Alliance came to the committee requesting these clarifying amendments to current law. The bill makes three substantive changes. It clarifies that tank vessels are oil barges with approved oil discharge prevention and contingency plans meet the requirements for an oil transfer facility. It clarifies that tank vessels or oil barges with the approved proof of financial ability satisfy the requirement for an oil transfer facility. And lastly, it changes the definitions of oil transfer facility to conform to these two provisions. The bill has an immediate effective date to ensure that fuel delivery operations this season can take place. And with that, I want to thank you for hearing the bill, and I and my staff are available to answer any questions.
Well, thank you for that. Do we have any further questions, comments? So considering that, do we have a motion?
Yes, I do. Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 128 version 33-LS0634/U from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Thank you. Do I hear any objections? Not hearing any objections. With that, HB 128 moves from the Senate Transportation Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it.
Yes. All right. Thanks. Thanks for dropping by today. So.
Thanks for dropping by. Come back when you can't stay so long.
Brief at ease. All right, thank you. We're back on the record, and now we will hear SB 129 by Senator Myers. And Senator Myers, thank you for being here today. If you will, please place yourself and your staffer on the record and give us your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for hearing the bill today. For the record, Robert Myers, Senator for District Q. With me is Teresa Wohlstadt, my legislative aide. And first of all, I appreciate you hearing the bill today, naming the bike path after Matt Glover. I do want to recognize that May is actually National Bike Month, and we've got National Bike to Work Week coming up here shortly. So we do feel that this is an appropriate time to be hearing this bill. So today we're going to be presenting SB 129, an act naming the Matt Glover Bike Path. And I just want to speak real quick to the inspiration for the bill. At its core, SB 129 honors the late Matt Glover, who was an avid cyclist and member of the cycling community of Interior Alaska. His fellow cyclists described him as kind and caring with a witty sense of humor. He sounds pretty close to home already. Matt participated in many locally organized cycling events, including the Chena Hot Springs Bicycle Classic, the Tour of Fairbanks, the Tanana River Challenge, the Nenana-Rama, and many more. Traveled through rain and snow, logging thousands of hours a year, biking between his home in North Pole and work down for the Alaska Railroad in Fairbanks. Tragically, last fall, Matt Glover passed away after a vehicle collision on the Richardson Highway while on his bicycle on the way to work. Matt's passing highlights how for decades there has not been a safe way for pedestrians to walk or bike safely between North Pole and Fairbanks. Currently, DOT is working on a paved bicycle pedestrian path along the Richardson Highway that will create a continuous path between the two cities for the first time. This path will finally connect the cities, two cities of the interior, and increase pedestrian safety. The construction for the path is supposed to be, I believe, summer of next year. I believe that naming this bicycle and pedestrian path after Mr. Glover will continue to inspire fellow interior cyclists and foster pedestrian safety on the new continuous path between the cities of Fairbanks and North Pole. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it over to Ms. Wohlstadt to read through the quick sectional analysis. For invited testimony, we also have Eric Troyer, who is the treasurer for the Fairbanks Cycle Club, as well as Ariana Glover, Matt Glover's widow. And then we've invited Andy Mills, the legislative liaison for DOT, in case there's any questions for them.
All right. Thank you. Please, Ms. Wohlstadt.
Thank you, Chair Kaufman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Teresa Wohlstadt, a legislative aide for Senator Myers. Section 1 of this bill establishes the legislative intent for the funding for the signage dedicating the bicycle and pedestrian path between Airport Way and Badger Road of Fairbanks will occur during the future project. Section 2 of the bill establishes that this bicycle and pedestrian path will be named after Matt Glover as the Mike Glover Bicycle Bike Path. And yeah, it's just two sections.
That was easy compared to some of what we had. Just in summary, looking at this and the fiscal note, so this renaming, supported by the community, and it's a zero cost to the state, because essentially the future project that is to occur. Is that essentially the story here?
Mr. Chair, that is effectively correct. Because it is a future project, the signage will be absorbed into the cost of the project when it is installed next year.
All right. Let's see, who's next here on the list? You have your invited testifiers. Mm-hmm. Who would you prefer to call first?
I believe the plan was to have Mr. Troyer speak first.
That's good. Mr. Troyer, if you're there, please place yourself on the record.
Yeah. My name is Eric Troyer. I am the treasurer for the Fairbanks Cycle Club. And I just want to say that the club strongly supports naming this new bicycle pedestrian path between Fairbanks and North Pole after Matt Glover. He was an avid cyclist and a really huge part of our community. His dedication to cycling was an inspiration to many. We were very sad to hear of his death due to an accident while commuting to work on bike. Matt impressed and inspired a lot of people with his dedication to biking, especially with his bike commuting to work, even though he lived in North Pole and worked in Fairbanks. That's a huge commute. Weather rarely deterred him, and he inspired many before by cycling to organized bike rides that started in Fairbanks, and he rode from his home. Some of those rides were quite challenging on his on their own, like the Bananarama, which was a 100-mile bike ride on its own. Matt participated in many other local rides, Chena Heights Hot Springs Bicycle Classic, the Tour of Fairbanks, Brown Leaf Classic Cyclocross Series, River Challenge, Scum Rides, and the annual Women on Wheels Butterfly Ride. But besides his cycling achievements, he was also well-liked by so many. He was kind, caring, quiet, and a good listener, fun to be around. One admirer said his smile was absolutely contagious. I've got a few other comments from other admirers. He was always nice and would joke with you and just the type of person who would help you if you were in need. He gave me inspiration to ride on those cold days I didn't want to. He was the strongest man I'd ever seen. Rain, snow, hot, cold, the man was a monster rider. I was always amazed at just how fast he rode in all conditions. So we feel it is very appropriate to name this bicycle pedestrian path after Matt. We hope the path named after Matt will continue to inspire people to cycle more and will help make cycling in the area safer. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your testimony. And now, Senator Myers, would you like to go to Arianne Glover?
Yes, please, Mr. Chair.
So, Ms. Glover, take a minute, but please, when you're ready, put yourself on the record. We're happy to have you here today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Arianne Glover, and I am from North Pole, the wife of Matt Glover, representing myself. When I think of bike paths in Alaska that are named after individuals, I think of the Tony Knowles Coastal Trail or the Laney Fletcher Chester Creek Trail in Anchorage. Both are trails that I've ridden, and riding these trails prompted me to find out more about the individuals to which I owed the pleasure of an afternoon ride. A safe path where I did not have to worry about distracted drivers or motorists encroaching on my lane. As you know, my husband wasn't a governor, as Tony Knowles was, and he wasn't appointed by a governor as a member to lead the Trails and Recreation Board as Laney Fletcher was. And while I think it's important to remember and honor those who have played a role in our history and how they've shaped our state and our communities, I also think it's important to remember those that are a part of our present too. To say my husband was an avid cyclist would be an understatement. For over 20 years, he made the commute from North Pole to Fairbanks on his pink steel-framed road bike or his green steel-framed Surly touring bike, respectively dubbed the Pink Panther and Dr. Frankenstein. By week's end, his commute alone totaled over 100 miles, and he'd often add additional miles picking up our groceries, the mail, or running other errands in town, sometimes stopping to fill a growler of cider or stout to take home to enjoy after dinner at the start of his weekend. When I came to Alaska in 2013, I met Matt through the Fairbanks Area Hiking Club. My first hike was his first as well, and he was a noteworthy sight in early May in a Hawaiian shirt, shorts, and his five-fingered shoes. For a 4th of July picnic with the hiking club, the group took a bike ride down Farmers Loop and up McGrath Road. Matt commented on my pink bike, like his, and kept pace with me as I huffed and puffed my way up the hills that I was unaccustomed to, having just moved from Florida several months ago. Shortly after learning that we both lived in North Pole, he invited me for a bike tour of the town. We stopped at the Santa Claus house and to see the reindeer, and we ended at his home for a delicious dish with salmon from Chitna, greens out of his garden, and homemade ice cream with wild strawberries that were picked straight from his yard. He embodied the things that are unique to Alaskans: hunting for moose, dip netting at Chitna, picking berries to make homemade jam. He was no stranger to thrift stores or the transfer site platform. He would marvel at a perfectly good set of wool bibs he found, things that were trash to one and treasure to another. His first gift to me was from the transfer site. I didn't know it at the time, but that North Face windbreaker and orange Patagonia sweater I still wear on late summer evenings and cool fall days. Matt rode because he loved it. There was no place my husband would have rather been than on two wheels, whether rain, snow, cold, even after fixing more flat tires from debris on the road than you could ever imagine. He'd simply fix his flat, debate the benefits of switching to tubeless tires, which he gave in to last fall, and get back on the road. He never made excuses for himself. He was the kind of person who lived his life by example. Through his actions, without saying anything. He'd never brag about how many miles he rode or tell people that they needed to ride more. Or that because he rode to work, everyone else should ride to work too. He simply showed up on two wheels to work, to social events, to rides or hikes. And he was a quiet remember of what we all have the ability to do. Often the hardest part is just getting started. But once you're out there on your bike, no matter the weather or the temperature, when you're done, you're always glad you rode. He was an inspiration to others, not by his words or trying to convince them that they should ride their bikes more, but by simply showing up on his bike. Since his accident, I've heard countless stories from folks who said they'd see him every morning on their commute into work, who'd smile to themselves or wave as they went by. Folks that said they could tell how early or late for work they were based on where he was on the road. Because like clockwork, my husband would rise around 4 a.m. He'd build a fire to keep me warm. He'd pack his lunch and then his bike, kiss me goodbye before he left. And then push off into the quiet morning to begin his day. Of course, I'd give anything in the world not to be here today to discuss naming a new bike path in memory of my husband. The one thing I really want is for him to come home, to walk through our door, and have me complain that he needs to leave his stinky bike clothes in the garage. I know that isn't possible, but naming this new connection from Badger Road to Airport Way, East Junction, is. And so I ask for your support in moving SB 129 forward. In his memory, let his name and his rides be an inspiration to others. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Glover. Thank you very much for, your sincere and compelling testimony. And I also thank you for being here to help us get to know Matt a little bit. I didn't know him, but sounds like quite a guy. And so we're happy to be hearing this bill today. Do we have any questions from the committee on from any of the testifiers so far?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do not, although I do think it is also very befitting to name such a wonderful acknowledgement of a very passionate and inspirational cyclist, and this bill obviously has my very full support, and I'm very sorry for your loss, Ms. Glover.
I second that. So, at this point, Mr. Mills, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here.
Yes, have a maybe just a question for you with respect to the signs. What's the timeline for procuring these signs so that they can be named in time and end up, having this all work out? So please, if you'd put yourself on the record and answer that, if you may.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. For the record, Andy Mills, legislative liaison and special assistant at the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. And Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to speak to this. The path, the proposed path, that is part of a project that is going to construction, as noted in the fiscal note, is planned to be completed in the fall of 2024. So what that means in a practical sense, certainly in naming this after the legacy of this individual and the lessons that the public can learn by looking the name up, that the signage would go up as soon as the passage of the bill enables that. And production of the signage is actually a quick turnaround, and installation can happen as part of the project. Signage, as one can imagine, is at the end of a project, sort of once all work is completed. So we would anticipate that if the bill passed anytime this or next session, there will be time to install that signage as part of the project by fall of 2024.
Okay. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Take a brief at ease. All right, we're back on the record. Before we set this aside, any closing comments or final thoughts?
Mr. Chair, again, Robert Myers for the record. After the testimony, Ms. Glover, I don't really feel like I can add very much right now. I just want to say thanks for hearing the bill today. And I know we're missing a couple of members, and we're going to have to get to public testimony at some point, probably next week. But just appreciate hearing the bill, and hope we can move it forward soon.
Thank you for that. Any further comments, Senator Tobin?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. I know we should not pass up this opportunity to just really emphatically say that bike safety is something we all should be thankful for and thoughtful around, and when you see a cyclist on the road, to slow down.
Agreed. Again, thank you to all who helped make this meeting possible today, and for those who attended, and particularly Ms. Glover for your testimony. Really appreciate it. And thank you, Senator Myers, for bringing this bill before us today. I'm going to go ahead and set this bill aside for now, and we'll get back to it at our first opportunity. Our calendar is we have a joint session on our normally scheduled meeting time for Tuesday, May 9th. So we will give notice of our next meeting and intend to hear this bill. So with that, I will gavel out, and we are adjourned at 2:09 p.m.